Hey, everybody. Welcome back to So You Want to Be in Ministry. I'm Tim, and we are all about honoring faithfulness in ministry here. We want to do that by educating you, equipping you, and encouraging you. And also, maybe just full-time vocational ministry isn't where you're headed. So we also want to empower you to follow godly leaders well. And so we try to reveal some of those people that are just getting after it every single day and what makes them tick, what the heart that they have. And just how they're navigating through a ministry and equipping and educating and encouraging you along the way. So today, we're going to go solo. I am going to give you some insights that I've had. I have been a second chair leader pretty much my entire, definitely my entire ministry career, but almost my entire just occupational career. I've been very within close proximity of the leader of our team or organization or church. And so I've gotten a lot of insights and I've been able to navigate some of those things. And I haven't always navigated them well. I've had to, some of these lessons I've learned the hard way because I've made dramatically terrible mistakes. But I had grace and mercy and forgiveness shown my way where I could learn and grow and do better the next time. And so I want to help you hear some of these things because I know that I'm going to learn the hard way sometimes. But if I can avoid learning that way, I'll learn the easy way. I like it. Teach me and let me learn without failing. I'll learn that way too. And so hopefully some of these things will help you. And so today we're going to be talking about a second chair leadership topic, and it's about avoiding the backup quarterback syndrome. Now, if you know football, you probably already have an idea of where I'm going with this. But if you don't, let me explain it a little bit. I don't know if this is really a thing. Like, I made up this term of backup quarterback syndrome. There may be another name for it. And if you actually have the name, what they call this when I get into this, please put it in the comments or get back to me, email me, look me up on social media, because I actually do want to know the real name if it's out there. But I haven't found that. And so I call it the backup quarterback syndrome. And what happens is on a football team, you have your starting quarterback. And he is usually the focal point. If you watch all the, you know, TV series and shows and movies, you'll see that like they're the most popular guy in school. Like they are the best athlete. They are, you know, all of those things. They are the cool guy. They get the cool cheerleader, you know, the girl. They get all of those things. But there are times where the starting quarterback is struggling. And in the real world, whether it's college, high school, or professional football, American football, it can be like there's a lot of pressure because the whole team kind of goes as you go. And if you're not that good, the team is probably going to be bad. And if you're really good, the team could probably win a lot. If you stayed attuned to the NFL, you know that Patrick Mahomes has been very, very good. And the Chiefs make the Super Bowl virtually every year because he's that good. But you can have a team that's struggling and they're struggling to find a quarterback. And what happens is you have your starter out there, but you may have this backup that everybody's talking about where it's like, I thought he was going to win the starting job. You know, I wish we could see what he can do. And maybe like in the preseason or in a game that doesn't really matter that much, he has a really good game. And you're like, I think he could do better. And sure enough, the moment happens where the backup quarterback gets inserted to start a game. Maybe it's because the quarterback got hurt, or maybe they're just trying to mix it up, or it's the end of the season. They're trying to give some guys some extra time. And he has a great game. And now all the fans are going, we don't need our starter. We've got this backup. We'll just roll with him. And that whole mindset, and usually when the starter gets in, they're not that good, like over the long haul. There's a few exceptions. Like, I know there's some fan bases out there who are like, that's not true, our guy. Like, there's a couple of them. But most of the time, when they have it the full-time starting job, it doesn't really pan out for them. And so translating this into the church mindset and ministry field, a lot of times this can happen. And this will happen when the lead pastor goes on vacation or gets sick or something, and the youth pastor or a second chair leader, you know, second pastor in the church gets their opportunity to take the stage and preach, especially in a church where there's some tough dynamics going. And that can be common. And the youth pastor, whatever, delivers a phenomenal message. People are like, why don't we hear him more? I wish we could hear him more. And all of a sudden, controversy can start building. where it's like, man, maybe we're struggling because our guy is just out of touch or old, or we just need a new thing, or, and all of a sudden the youth pastor or whoever, the fill-in pastor, starts to become like viewed very highly, and maybe can't do anything wrong, and our kids love him, and so let's make him pastor. And there can be this tension within that. And I'm sure it's felt from the lead pastor as well as the second chair pastor. I'm sure that tension can be there. And so I want to talk to our second chair leaders right now. And if you're out there, you might be in this context, or you may face this context because it's really weird, really real. And I want to give you some ways to avoid this. So the first thing that I'm going to give you is that when you get inserted, when you are given trust, or maybe it wasn't even trust, it was just like, you have to, because I actually have to leave, or I literally can't get out of bed. So you just got to do it. When the pastor trusts you with that, you are not the backup quarterback. You cannot have a mindset, and you cannot let the people in the church have a mindset that you are some backup quarterback, that when you get inserted, things are better. That is not the role that you have been given by Jesus Christ. If he desires to give you that lead role, and if you desire in your heart to become that overseer, go seek it out, but you don't need to do it within the context where God's already placed somebody. If that's a desire of your heart, then you need to go. But when you get inserted into that moment, that's not God going, see, now you're overseer. That is a moment where you are not the backup quarterback, and you need to have a mindset that you are the left tackle. Now, if you know football, you know that the left tackle, most quarterbacks throw with their right arm, and the left tackle protects them. And so when they're throwing it, their back is completely exposed to get drilled by the defense. And just, I mean, if you've seen any videos or any football at all, you can see big hits on quarterbacks that didn't even know the guy was there. And so your job as left tackle, you are to protect his blind side. Because in that moment, when he's not there, and people feel very comfortable saying whatever they want to say because he's not even here. I know he's not even going to hear this. I can say it to this guy and make him feel really good and maybe even get things to change here that I want to see change. Your job's not the backup quarterback. You're not playing quarterback. You are playing left tackle, and your job is to protect the quarterback. That was the guy that God put in charge of the church, and your job is to protect him. Right now, not blatant sin and stuff like that. Understand what I'm saying. Like, this is normal context. Things are going well. The pastor has the right heart. But even then, if there is sin going on, you address that in private. And I'll get to that in a second. But your job is the left tackle. So when you're filling in, you want to do a great job. You want a Hall of Fame effort. You want to go for it. You want to be great. But you want to be great within the context of what your position is as left tackle, protector of the blind side. Not as backup quarterback where you're running the show. That's not who you are. So let's deal with a couple of these things to avoid. Understand that you're the left tackle, number one. Number two, trust. Build trust. You should already have that trust with your lead pastor. And if you are living out as a left tackle every single day and every single week, it's going to be easy to live that out when you get inserted into that role for that specific weekend. But you need to develop trust with your first chair, with your lead pastor. You like, it doesn't mean you won't disagree. It doesn't mean that you won't have difficult things. It doesn't mean there won't be tough seasons, but they can trust you through it all. Like, you're going to stand with them. You're going to be with them. You're going to walk through it. You're going to try to help them through it. You got to build some trust, and they need to know that you've got their back. And so some things that have happened with me is, there's been moments where people have said things to me about my lead pastor. And I've had five lead pastors. I think it's happened everywhere where somebody will just make a comment. Sometimes it's like innocent, but they want to see if they have an ear with you. Sometimes it's more dangerous where they're coming for somebody, like they want their pound of flesh. And so I just learned, like, hey, that has nothing to do with me. This is gossip. If you have that issue, you can talk to our pastor. I would be willing to make sure, like, I could talk to him to make sure this meeting could happen, but that's who you need to process with. Well, no, they usually back way off of that because they're like, oh no, like, he's not going to just let me talk about this. And I will be quick in a kind, loving way as much as I can to let them know that what they're saying is unacceptable. Like, hey, you can have these differences, you can see things differently, but you need to talk to our pastor, and if you're not going to talk to him, This is gossip, which is sin. So you need to stop. And I'll try to, one of the phrases that we've used around our church every once in a while is that if somebody's trying to start a fire, you can throw gasoline or you can throw water. We want to be water throwers and put the fire out. Now, if I build that trust, now I can go in an accountability manner and I can go to my pastor and be like, hey, this person has brought this up to me like 3 times. I keep telling them to come talk to you. Have they come to talk to you about this? No, they haven't. Do you know that's an issue? Yes, it's been an issue for years. I've gone over and over vision casting, helping them understand like it's a thing they just can't get off of. Okay. I just want to make sure you are aware. Other times it may be like, yeah, they have brought it up, or they could even say, no, they haven't ever brought that up to me. I'm like, okay, maybe lean in and address it if you feel like it's appropriate. Like you're trying to be accountable. You're trying to let them know that it's there. You're trying to know that you have his back. But there may be moments where you're like, I need you to hear this, Pastor. I do think there's some credence to that. I am seeing that in our church. I will never tell them that because I got your back, but I want you to hear from me. I am sensing that I think they may just be a person that is voicing it, but it is a thing that is throughout the church. And I think it's something we need to listen to. And it may be vision casting from the pastor where you go, you know what? I was thinking that myself, but now that you say that, I totally get it. And I'm wrong. And now you can go back and vision cast the same thing that you were given, right? Because now you're equipped with the equipment to go back and go, okay, this is why I don't think you're right anymore. You need to go talk to the pastor because he understands and he has a great vision for why we can't go that direction. And you send them to him. But it also equips you with the vision to be able to go, no. Now, he may also push back and you're just like, I don't agree. I don't think it's that big a deal. I'm not going to like go out here. I don't think we need to change direction. Like, I'm not going to leave the church over this. But I don't agree. And over time, I think you're going to understand. And you may have to vision cast and lead up in an appropriate way where you're respectful and you're kind and you are loving and you are not harming trust, but you are letting them know. I think we need to reassess why we're doing what we're doing. You need to use those opportunities. So if you build trust and then you go to appropriate accountability and squashing gossip, as well as letting your pastor know where you're standing on it, equipping yourself with vision casting on both sides, you can help. Another way that you can do this is by advocating for your pastor. Every time, it's not every time anymore. It used to be every time that I would get the opportunity to preach, I would find one way to talk positively about my pastor or his family or some, or maybe like an initiative that they're trying to vision cast and stuff. I would try to find a positive way to talk about it so that people understood I'm standing with this man. Yes, this platform has been shared with me and I'm standing with him because he's a great guy. He's a faithful guy. He's a servant. I love where we're heading. I love this church. I try to find a positive thing to say about the lead pastor, about the starting quarterback when I get the opportunity. I don't as much anymore because I am preaching more and it would feel more weird now. Like, because I probably go, I'm getting close to averaging once a month and it would feel weird where it's like, well, here's the first 3 minutes where he's going to talk about how great our pastor is. It would land differently than doing like 3 times a year. It just lands differently. And so I'm more careful, but I will look for opportunities in moments to be able to like, you have heard our pastor say this, and I will say the common phrase we know we've heard 100 times, and I will say, you know, Pastor Seth has said this, bing, 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 bing. And I'm doing that very intentionally to go, I am aligned with him. I agree with him. I stand with him. I love him. I love the vision. I'm trying to do things to make sure that people understand that our starting quarterback is a great starting quarterback. And so I'm doing those things as well. I want to remind you of this in closing, that if you've watched football, you know that the fast, like super athletic guys are the ones that generally score the touchdown. But the moments where everybody gets excited is when like the big guys get a touchdown, whether it's a defensive guy that's just massive, somehow gets the ball and runs in for a touchdown, or whether it's a play where an offensive lineman somehow scores a touchdown. When they have a big play, like, the entire team is going nuts and they're jumping and they're hitting each other's helmets and everything like that. And I want you to hear this. That's what it should be when you enter in and you preach a message, or you have a very visible moment where the pastor has trusted you and you've been inserted as this replacement, not as the backup quarterback, but as a left tackle, because everybody celebrates a big man touchdown. And in that moment, if you should do your best to be successful. And if you are successful and you do everything that God put you in that place for you to do, and he accomplished it through you, you're going to sense everybody celebrating. We're like, that was so awesome. I just love it when he talks about that. I just love, and they're definitely giving you compliments. But if you're doing what you need to do, it's a compliment as a team, where it's like, this is a great place to score touchdowns. We are winning all the time. This is great. We love it. And that's what a good team looks like. But if you're going to have a healthy, good team, you have to be a healthy, good second chair leader and avoid the backup quarterback syndrome. So, quick review. How do we avoid the backup quarterback syndrome? Number one, understand you are not the backup quarterback. You are the left tackle. Number two, make sure that you are building trust. You have to build that trust in season and out of season, because it can go away quickly if you do something dumb. And so you've got to put a lot of deposits in the trust category. Number three, you advocate. Advocate for your pastor. Advocate for the church mission. Like, you should be doing those things. Number four, hold accountability. Hold yourself accountable not to mess up. Hold your pastor accountable privately to make sure that you understand where we're supposed to be heading. And if things are getting a little out of sorts, you can let him know, give him a heads up. He may not even know. He may not even realize it's happening. But you can also, like, try to corral in a very loving, respectful, kind, appropriate, God-honoring way. You can corral some things. And then number five, everybody loves a big man touchdown. So do your best. Be successful. Like, you've been entrusted with this moment. Use the moment for the glory of God, and use the moment to celebrate what God is doing through the context of your church. And when everybody realizes that moment was a win, everyone will celebrate, because it's like, this is so cool. So let's be great second chair leaders that are not viewing ourselves as the backup quarterback, but viewing ourselves as a blindside protector for our pastor, and protecting him, advocating for him, and loving him. Thank you so much for checking this out. I am looking forward to our next episode. I'll see you then.